The Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse number 17. John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I closed the sermon last Sunday morning by pressing upon us a continued and increased sanctification. Let me remind you of the definition of sanctification that we're using this morning. And that is the process by which you and I become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ and less like this world. The process by which you and I become more and more holy and less sinful. And I closed the sermon last Sunday by pressing upon us the continued an increased sanctification in our lives. And I ask you as always, if you weren't here last week, take 30 minutes, take 40 minutes, and watch that sermon, okay? I asked these questions, and I don't want you to answer them out loud. Don't do that. But answer these questions in your own heart and mind. I asked last week, I asked if you prayed. Do you pray? And then I asked, is it possible that you could pray more? And is it possible that you could pray better? Let me say this. I think we all can pray better. I asked if you read your Bible. I then asked if you could read it more. Ask yourself that question. Could I read the Bible more than what I am? Should I read the Bible more than what I am? Could I learn to study it like the Bible says? The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Do I study the Bible? Or do I just read it? Could I memorize it? Could I meditate on it? I asked if you gave to the work of the church and the needs of the poor, especially the poor brothers and sisters in Christ that you know. I asked if you could do more. I asked you if you witnessed, if you told other people about Jesus Christ, if you shared the gospel. I then asked you a question, could you do that more? Could you do it better? I asked if you love God. I then asked if you could love Him more and love Him better. I asked if you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Could you love them more? Could you love them better? I asked if you verbally gave thanks and praise to God. And I asked if you could do that more and if you could do that better. The point that I'm driving home is, maybe you do these things, but could you do more of it? Could you do these things better? I want to spend a few moments considering this line of thought this morning. Is it enough for us to simply pray? Well, let me stop. A friend of mine was speaking to a group of young people, school-age kids, and he was going to speak to them on the subject of prayer. And he said, "Now I want everyone in this room," and it was probably a fairly large group of young people. He said, "I want everyone that is in this room that prays once a day to lift your hands up." And he said, hands went up all over the auditorium. He said, the best he could tell, everyone's hand was up. And he was surprised. He was kind of taken back by that. All these young people confessing that they prayed at least once a day. And he said, now, he said, I want to know how many of you pray twice a day. And he said, if you pray twice a day, keep your hand up. And if you don't, put your hand down. If you only pray once a day, put your hand down. And he said, how many pray twice a day? And all the hands stayed up. And this friend of mine was blown away. He's like, oh my goodness, all these young people in our church, they pray twice a day. And he said, okay, we're going to do it again. He said, how many pray three times a day? If you do, keep your hand up. If you don't, lower it. He said, all the hands stayed up. And he didn't know what to make of it. He just didn't know what to think. He was excited, to say the least, that he had young people in his church that prayed three times a day. So he went a step further. He said, okay, how many pray four times a day? If you don't pray four times a day, lower your hands. He said, everybody's hand lowered. And it took him a second, and then it dawned on him. They're talking about praying three times a day over their meals. They pray over breakfast, they pray over lunch, and they pray over dinner. And then he kind of was brought back to earth. Is it enough for us to simply pray over our meal? Is it enough for us to simply pray for someone who is sick? And is it enough for us simply to pray when we are in desperate need of something? Is that enough? Is that enough? Do you think God is pleased with that? Now, these are questions I want you to answer in your own heart and mind. Is God pleased with that? You pray over every meal. You pray when someone says they're sick. And you pray when you're in desperate need of something. Is that enough? Is God pleased with that? Is it enough to read? I know Brother Brian mentioned this in a sermon a couple of weeks ago. Is it enough to read just a few verses of your Bible a day? You know, a handful of verses, four or five verses a day. Is that enough? Is that sufficient that you would live day to day that way? Is it enough to come to church once a month or twice a month or something along them lines, just whenever you feel like it? Is it enough to only praise God once a week in a hymn or two as you're singing? Is that sufficient? I want us to consider the reasons why your current sanctification is not enough, and why we must become more and more holy every day. I want to give you some reasons why your current sanctification is not enough. Do you fight sin? Do you get victory over sin? Do you mortify the deeds of the flesh? You say, well, I try. Well, do you try enough? Do you fight that battle hard enough? How hard do you strive to be holy? How hard do you strive to do right? Is it enough? First of all, I want you to understand that we are not saved and sanctified to simply stand still in one place. We are not saved and sanctified simply to stand still in one place. We are still on the road of the straight and narrow, but we have not yet arrived at our journey's end. I said that last week. None of us have arrived. None of us, I don't believe that any of us can say yes. Yes, all of those things that you mentioned. I do the best. I do the max. I don't need to be any better. I don't need to do any more. I'm at my peak. I'm at the peak of my Christian life. Everything is clicking perfectly. I do all things well. I don't need to go any further. I have arrived. Listen, we are still on this road. We are still on this journey. And we have not yet arrived. Now hear me. The Christian journey, and you got to listen to this. The Christian journey is not simply moving forward one day to the next day. But our journey is about moving forward in love. Our journey is about moving forward in grace. Our journey is about moving forward in hope, in faith, in maturity, in commitment, in holiness. Our journey is about moving forward in the spiritual things that matter. The journey as a Christian is not simply about going from one day to the next day. Although I will say that is important. I've preached recently, and I believe it might have been on Wednesday nights as I'm teaching through Gernal. I don't know when it was, but it was probably last year sometime. It's not so much important about your start, but what is important is your finish. And it's important when you come to the end of your journey that you are still in Christ and you still love God and you still have a testimony. That is important how you finish. And so it is important that you go from day to day and are still serving Christ. But what is equally as important is that you move forward in things like love and you move forward in things like grace, in hope, in faith, in holiness, in commitment, in maturity, that you actually grow forward. It is this moving forward why the Christian life is likened unto not just a journey, but the Christian life is likened unto a race. A race. When we're born again, that's not the end of our journey. But it is the beginning of our race. Do you understand that this morning? When we get born again, when we get saved, converted, washed in the blood, however you want to say it, when we come to that place where we know God and He knows us, that is not the end of our journey. That is the beginning of our race. Look, if you will, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I need you to understand this morning. You were not saved and sanctified and set on the road to heaven to stand still and to stand in the same place. You were put on that road so that you could move forward. Not just move forward from day to day, but move forward in the things that count. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12. Now watch this. Paul says, this is Paul. Most people in this room would count Paul as probably one of the greatest Christians on the pages of Scripture. Most people would think that about Paul. That would be their view of Paul. They would think very highly of the Apostle Paul. Now listen to what he says. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after. Do you see that? I follow after movement, progress, forward progress. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and what? Reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We see the great Apostle Paul acknowledging that he had not attained. Acknowledging that he was not perfect. And acknowledging that he had not apprehended. If the Apostle Paul says, hey, I've not arrived, what on earth gives you the right to think somehow that you have arrived? Okay? He said, I have not attained, I am not perfect, I have not apprehended. And yet he uses three phrases to express that he is not dormant either. He's not staying in one place. He's not coasting in his Christian life. This is it here. This is it. Are you coasting in your Christian life? You got your little prayer over breakfast and you read your little three verses, at breakfast. You come to a couple of services a week. You put $5 in the offering box and you sing a song. And you're coasting. And you think that's you've arrived. You're good. You're all settled. And you coast. Paul said three things to show that he was not dormant. He said, I follow after. He said, I reach forth. He said, I press toward. The Apostle Paul was moving forward. He was reaching forward. He was pressing forward. Not just day by day, but in the things that mattered. This should be our daily aim. When it comes to religious duties and spiritual goals, we should follow after, we should reach forth, and we should press forward. I'm talking about you growing as a Christian. You becoming more like God. You becoming more like Jesus Christ. You becoming more holy and less sinful. I'm talking about you getting better as a Christian. I'm talking about sanctification. You were not saved to coast. You were not saved to find a bench and sit in the shade. You need to read, if you haven't, you need to read Pilgrim's Progress. And I've been saying it for years, and if you don't do it, I'm going to come to your home every night and read it to you at bedtime. You need to read Pilgrim's Progress. The Christian life is a fight forward. It's a race forward. It's pressing forward beyond the obstacles, beyond the temptations, beyond the struggles, beyond the roadblocks, moving forward, 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 growing in the Lord, doing more, doing things better, being a better Christian. You were not saved to sit and coast. Secondly, we are to continue pressing forward in sanctification because there remains in us sin and corruption that needs to be subdued. Amen. Our sanctification makes us more like Jesus and less like this world. Our sanctification makes us more holy and less sinful. But it only does it by degrees. Just like the thermostat does its work degree by degree. Slowly, one degree at a time, that thermostat expels from this room the cold. The apostle in the book of Romans reminds us that our lusts, and we all lust after something, and we all covet something. Our evil lust, the Bible says, rebels against the Spirit of God. And there is a law of sin. There is a law of sin in our members. If sanctification does not increase, if we do not war against the flesh, if we do not mortify sin, if we do not draw nearer and nearer and nearer to Christ, if we do not improve on our Christian graces, if we do not move forward, if we do not move upward, then sin will increase. That's right. That's right. Nico, thank you. That thermostat, listen, that thermostat, it shuts down, and what happens? The cold begins to come back into the room. But as long as that thermostat stays up 1 degree at a time. Now listen, listen, I don't turn that on and it goes from 50 to 70 in 3 seconds. It goes degree by degree. Little by little. Here a little, there a little. Our sanctification is a progress. It's a process. But if we are not sanctifying ourselves, if we're not moving upward and forward, if we're not pressing on, if we're coasting, if we're standing still, if we're drifting back, then that sin is going to increase. If we do not move forward in sanctification, we will slide back in corruption. The heart is very susceptible to both grace and to sin. If there is not more grace, there will be more sin. If we do not labor to swim against the stream of sin, if we do not labor to swim against the stream of our Adamic nature, we will be swept backwards. Do you understand that, brother and sister? We still have sin and corruption in our lives. And aren't you reminded of that, like, daily? Aren't you reminded, like, daily, the sin that remains and the corruption that remains in you? Don't you just, like, blow your top and say something and then all of a sudden, like, oh my goodness, that is not even Christian. That is not loving. That is not kind. Where did that come from? It came from the remaining corruption that lies within you. You ever find yourself coveting? You ever find yourself lusting? Do you ever find greed wells up in you? You ever find that jealousy wells up in you? You must move forward in sanctification. You must press forward. You must press onward. Degree by degree, taking ground. Driving little by little sin out of your life. If you don't, sin's going to come back and take the ground that it had lost. When my son Isaac, who we're very glad is able to be here this morning, he has the day off. When he was in Afghanistan in Sangin, the 5th Division and the 25th Division of the Marines moved into Sangin. The British had been there and had taken hold of that place. And for some reason, and I'm not privy to, and maybe I could, you know, if I studied it out, I could learn it, but for some reason, the British decided to leave Sangin. And the United States knew, with the British forces gone, what's going to happen? They're going to lose Sangin. They're going to lose that place. And so the United States moved in to try to keep and protect that place from the enemy coming in. It's the same thing. You cannot go backwards. You cannot coast. You cannot rest. You cannot neither give place to the devil. Don't give place to your sin. Move forward and press forward for that corruption that is in us. Thirdly, we must move forward in sanctification. Is that sanctification, us becoming more and more like Christ and less like this world, us becoming more and more holy and less sinful. We must move forward in sanctification because that is, listen, brother and sister, now listen, because that is the purpose of all the trials and afflictions and chastisements that God lays upon us. I'm very thankful for a young man that's listening. Amen. Because that is the purpose for the trials and afflictions and chastisements that God lays upon us. God lays trials upon us. He lays afflictions upon us. And He lays chastisements upon us so that we might be better. So that we might be stronger. so that we might be more holy, so that we might be more fruitful, so that we might be more perfect. God lays trials and afflictions and troubles, and He lays chastisements upon us that we would be more holy, that we would be more strong, that we would be more fruitful, that we would be more perfect. That is the purpose. Listen, a few chapters back in chapter number 15, Jesus said, every branch is purged that it might bring forth more fruit. The afflictions, trials, and chastisement that God lays upon us look at it as compost on your garden. Look at it as the digging and dunging. I always that's a tongue twister for me. As found in Luke chapter 13, where the tree is not producing fruit, and the servant said, "Let me dig it and dung it one more year." The trials that God lays upon us, the afflictions that God lays upon us, the chastisements that He lays upon us, it's compost for our little garden. It's digging and dunging around our tree. It is the fire removing dross from the gold and removing the impurities from the silver. It is the winnowing. You know what they did with the wheat? They put it in those big baskets and they would throw the wheat up in the air and the wind would come by and drive away the chaff and the wheat would settle back down in the basket. And those trials and those afflictions and those chastisement is God winnowing us, tossing us in the air and letting the wind come and blow the junk out of our lives and settle down more pure. My question to you, Christian brother, why would you endure trials? Why would you endure afflictions? Why would you endure especially chastisement and not learn anything from it? My question to you, dear sister, why would you endure trials and troubles and not let them make you a better Christian woman? We've heard the phrase 1,000 times. We've heard it 10,000 times. Here it is. Some people will never learn. Have you said that? I guarantee you, you've said it 1,000 times yourself. You shake your head and you say, some people will never learn. And yet some professing Christians never seem to benefit from the correcting hand of God. Listen, this is why God allows trials into our life. This is why He allows afflictions into our life. This is why He chastises us, that we might be more sanctified, that we might be more holy, that we might be stronger, that we might be more perfect. Fourth, we must press forward in sanctification because this is the very purpose of the Bible. And it's the very purpose of Bible preaching. Our text says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What is the point? Answer this question in your own mind and heart. What is the point in you reading the Bible if it does not move you closer to God? What is the point in you reading your Bible if it does not drive you further from this world? What is the point in preaching if it does not move you closer to holiness and further from sin? Just as the sun and the rain make a garden fruitful, and just as the wind fills the sails of a boat to help it to move, so the Word of God, whether it's read, or the Word of God, whether it's preached, should make us fruitful and should push us forward in our life of faith. It's the purpose of the Bible, to sanctify us. Wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The word of God is there for our sanctification. And we cannot draw closer to God. We cannot draw further from sin unless we read the word of God and attend the public preaching. Whenever you settle into these pews, your prayer should be this. Lord, I am not what I should be. Please speak to my heart through this sermon and help me to use what I've heard today to draw closer to you. That should be the prayer of every person as they settle into their pew. Do you hear me, brother and sister? Your prayer, your quiet prayer should be, Lord, I am not what I should be. Please speak to my heart through this sermon and help me to use what I've heard to draw closer to you. Whenever you sit down in your easy chair with your Bible, your prayer should be something similar. Lord, I am not the person that I could be. I'm not the wife that I could be. I'm not the husband that I could be. I'm not the parent that I should be. God, I'm not the person that I could be. Please open my spiritual eyes. Open my heart to your word. Make me more like you. What is the point in reading your Bible? What is the point in attending public preaching if you're not moved closer to God? What is the point? It's a waste of time. James chapter 1 and verse number 22 says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And then lastly, we should press forward in sanctification because the taste of the holy life, the taste of the holy life will make us insatiable for more. And God promises that those who live godly will grow more holy. The more a man drinks, the more he desires drink. The richer a man is, the more money he desires. The more powerful a man is, the more power he craves. And I happen to think that the more you live the holy life, the more you'll want it. The more you live the holy life, the more you want it. Well, listen to me, brother and sister. When you get the taste, and the Bible says, taste and see, the Lord is good. When you get the taste of reading that Bible, and God opening that thing up to you, opening your eyes, you seeing wonderful truths, God blessing your heart. When you open that Bible and are serious in that book, and you see God helping you and giving you for that day exactly what you need for that day, when you start to experience that, you'll want more. You'll want more. When you get serious about prayer, you pray seriously, you pray fervently, you pray zealously, you pray biblically, and you see God answer your prayer. I mean, God answers a prayer that nobody else knew. It's one thing to say, God, I need 200 bucks. Would you please meet my need this week? And then get to church and say, hey, pray for me. I need 200 bucks. So you're kind of helping God along. Hoping someone will take the hint. But when you pray to God all alone and nobody else knows and God starts answering those prayers, and you get the taste, you'll want more. You won't be satisfied. When you witness and share Christ, and when you share the gospel, and one of your friends or family members comes to true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they get saved, that's a feeling that you've never experienced before, and you'll want to experience it again. The more you love God, the more you want to love God. The more you live the holy life, the less you're going to desire to go back in the other direction. The more you live the holy life, the less you're going to desire to go back in the other direction. The taste of holiness is going to help you despise the bitter taste of sin. It's like being bumped up into a new food bracket. Have you ever done that? You ever been bumped up into a new food bracket? It's hard to go back. Once you've tasted some food so good, all of a sudden that other food you used to taste is like, ugh, that's disgusting compared to this new stuff. I know you've been bumped up into a new food bracket. Listen, I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but I can't hardly stand the taste of McDonald's anymore. I know there's better food out there. I've tasted it, okay? Now, I'm not where I should be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. You ever been bumped up into a new food bracket? All of a sudden, you can't go back. And once you taste of holiness, it's going to be hard to go back to the bitter taste of sin. And the more we lean on God, the closer we draw to Him, the better He makes us. Isaiah 40, 29 to 31, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm not going to go there for lack of time, but Hosea 14 gives us the same idea. Just as the curse upon the wicked is to grow worse and worse, so the blessing upon the godly is to grow better and better. You press forward in the sanctified life. You press forward in the sanctified life. Number one, you will like it. And it'll make that old sin and that old worldliness, it'll make it bitter. You press forward in the sanctified life and you will like it. And number two, God will bless it. You will like it and God will bless it. Brother and sister, God did not save us to stand still. Do not be satisfied with where you are. Keep pressing forward. We still have sin and corruption in our lives that need to be driven out. Don't let the trials and afflictions and chastisements go to waste because we haven't learned anything from them. God's trying to move us closer to Him. May God add His blessings to the preaching of His word. May God bless His little flock at Beth Haven. Thank you so much for your attentiveness. Let's pray. Lord, none of us, not one person in here, is where they should be. And right now, there's not one of us where we could be. And I pray that You have pressed upon our hearts and minds the need to reach forth, to press on, to continue in sanctification, to mortify the sins and the deeds of the flesh, to draw closer to You, to immerse ourselves in prayer and the Word. Lord, help us to be more holy. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless His church this morning.